The Thousand Sons were once a loyal Space Marine Legion who fought in the service of mankind. 10,000 years has changed them beyond recognition. Hubris, corruption, and manipulation brought their downfall. Unfettered power and the desperate quest for its control sealed their damnation. Now, they are a fractured and selfish brotherhood, riven by personal ambition and duplicity. Sorcerous cabals lead the Thousand Sons to war amidst conjured firestorms and barrages of mutating magics. At their behest, the bulk of this once proud legion advance relentlessly. Reduced to mindless soul echoes, trapped forever within their sealed suits of battle armor. Twisted cults and mutants fight at their side. Abhorrent demon engines prowl in their midst. All seek to further their own twisted schemes. Yet all are but pawns in the labyrinthian plan of Tzeentch, the chaos god of fate, change, and sorcery. Those who worship the dark gods believe that there are four such dread entities. Amongst them, Tzeentch is by far the most cunning and capricious. As befits his multifarious nature, Tzeentch has many names. The Changer of the Ways, the Great Sorcerer, the Lord of Fate, the Twisted One. By these and countless others is he worshipped, often by dupes who do not even realize the true nature of the entity to whom they offer sacrifice. Tzeentch is said to be the chaos god of sorcery, of fate and foretelling, of trickery and manipulation, and of constant change. He is the patron deity of those who seek knowledge at any cost. He is worshipped by all who desire the power to alter the fundamental state of all about them. Those who wish to control or to acquire the dangerous gifts of the Psyker. And those who seek to connive and scheme their way into changing their fate or those of their enemies. The demons of Tzeentch are twisted echoes of his fractal aspect. They are shifting, changing, and freakish. Things of sprawling intellect and boundless malice. Some hurl gouts of warp flame that mutate all they burn and can never be extinguished. Others split and change beneath their enemies' blows. Soar through the air upon currents of sorcery, or drive their victims to madness with trickery, illusion, and whispered impossible secrets. It is with these strange beings that the Thousand Sons often strike pacts, either for a hidden knowledge or battlefield allegiance. To Sathis Vor, leading a thrall band of chronomantic sorcerers and temporally enhanced foot soldiers, Tisathis Vor commands the very stream of time itself. Such abilities render Vor and his warband tremendously powerful, for they wield a weapon that their enemies cannot resist or fully comprehend. Yet this practice comes with terrible risks. which even now threaten to destroy Vor entirely. Through demonic pacts and centuries of arcane research, Tasathis Vor has gained partial control over the causal streams of time itself. He has learned to perceive the racing river of time that carries all living beings along upon its invisible currents, sweeping them unknowing towards their destinies. Crucially, Vor has further mastered the ability of loosening time's grip upon him and upon his most devoted followers. Even still, so fundamental a power is almost beyond Vor's control. His abilities are akin to grabbing hold of the slick, slippery rocks that jut from time's river, hauling himself from its rushing currents and then leaping precariously from one outcropping to the next, until inevitably he is dragged back into the waters. With all this said, Vor's painstakingly honed temporal magics are powerful indeed. His thrall band, the Blade Sinister, are able to vanish from the timeline of real space, seemingly at will, only to reappear, guns blazing, at times they could not possibly do so. They have preemptively ambushed those who originally ambushed them, and launched coordinated attacks with their former or latter selves as allies. They have even tricked their foes into choosing contradictory paths at precisely the same fixed moment in time, and in doing so, have shattered them across infinite streams of continuity through the power of weaponized impossibility. Slipping in and out of the established time stream has eroded Tasathis Vor's own place in it. His link to the time-space continuum is becoming tenuous. Vor's followers believe this to be a blessing from Tzeentch, and perhaps in a twisted sense, it is. The exalted sorcerer is surrounded by blurred simulacra of himself, each acting slightly before or after him, each choosing subtly different paths. This has made it incredibly difficult to strike Vor in battle, his frustrated foes finding their blows passing through the places he should have been rather than where he is. However, should the effect become too pronounced, Vor will lose his place in the time stream altogether. To counteract this, he has fashioned a staff that acts as a temporal anchor in the now and focuses his abilities still further. Yet, if a foe were to learn of this weakness and sunder his staff, Vor might at last lose his place in space and time altogether. Astrathas, the Inconstant. The power of unbridled change burns through this master magi, squirming and growing within him until it threatens to annihilate him entirely. Astrathas is said to have the Eye of Tzeentch fixed firmly upon him. Yet, if this is so, it remains to be seen whether the God of Change will reward the sorcerer's efforts with an eternity of demonhood or insanity and spawndom. No physical part of Astrathas the Inconstant remains the same for more than a handful of moments. His entire body is in constant, gruesome flux. Flesh becomes tentacular masses, becomes iridescent feathers or rippling scales, becomes glassy blue crystal that flows like water before shuddering back into post-human flesh again. His eyes are myriad clusters, then compound orbs, then deep-sunk pits. Sometimes they are many, sometimes singular like that of his sire. His voice is an overlapping cacophony of hisses, snarls, croaks, and somber incantations. Even his thoughts mutate at a relentless pace, causing Asterthas to alter his plans seemingly at random, in response to suddenly sprouting whims or uncoiling surges of unnatural inspiration. Asterthas's weapons have been tainted by his touch, transforming into unstable biomechanical abominations. His sorcerer's stave is a horror of pulsating flesh, bulging eyes, and slobbering mouths. When used to focus its master's ruinous change powers, the staff shoots out squirming masses of sticky pseudopods and short-lived, maw-tipped tentacles that engulf their victims in a writhing tide of flesh. Their touch transmits a dread curse of mutation that sees living beings and inert engines of war alike rapidly transmogrified into heaving, shrieking chaos spawn. These, Asterthas adds to his ever-growing menagerie of horrors. The sorcerer's unholy powers have drawn many Zangor to his banner, and it is these mutant beasts that herd his spawn packs into battle with gilded goats. The only thing static about Asterthas is his finely crafted battle armor. Perversely, considering the fleshy horror it contains, it has been fashioned to resemble an inert walking sarcophagus. The only clue to the boiling madness within are tendrils of many-colored flesh that squirm occasionally through its joints. The truth hidden within Asterthas's squirming hearts is that he knows he stands upon the brink of a final, all-consuming change, either becoming a demon prince or a damned mutilith vortex beast. By trapping his mutating body within a solid shell of adamantine, he hopes to retain physical and spiritual cohesion long enough to ascend to glory, instead of devolving into sprawling, never-ending madness. Phasmos, wretch. Just as Tzeentch is the god of perpetual change and manipulator of the labyrinthian paths of fate, so many of those who worship him step from one destiny to another, according to their own schemes. Phasmos Wretch is one such, a Delante of magical studies and twisted experimentations, who has trod a winding road from one cult to the next. Phasmos Wretch has sacrificed, abandoned, or betrayed followers beyond reckoning. He has cast countless underlings to the fiery winds of war, each time his ever-shifting schemes have required a blood price. Wretch is a singularly selfish creature, whose one true allegiance is to Tzeentch, to whom he offers worship through the unfettered accumulation of forbidden lore. In the name of this cause, Wretch has progressed through the ranks of more than half the great cults of the Thousand Sons. Some amongst their number have scorned him for faithless inconsistency, or the inability to focus upon and perfect a single discipline. During the siege of Korfall, Amat the Scarlet mocked Wretch, claiming he would never master Tzeentch's deeper mysteries. Yet it was Wretch, with his broad sorcerer knowledge and boundless cunning, not Amat with his high mastery of mutative magics alone, who triumphed during the sorcerer's duel that followed. Wretch has so far given temporary allegiance to the cults of magic, time, scheming, mutation, and now knowledge. With each shift in loyalties, the sorcerer has accumulated new treasures and powerful artifacts, as well as fresh tracts of unholy lore he keeps in an ever-growing and extremely perilous library of grimoires. His thrall band has also grown. Sorcerers, cultists, and infernal entities drawn in by his charisma and added to the ever-changing ranks who work his vicious will. There is scant trust between the sorcerers of the Thousand Sons. Moreover, every successful practitioner of the Tzeentchian arts accrues enemies over time, be they mortal or immaterial in nature. Thus, many sorcerers seek to fashion sanctums for themselves. Whether these be bunker laboratories hidden beneath the surface of lone asteroids, hidden dimensional pockets, or ward-encircled towers of flame and crystal, each sorcerer's sanctum is as unique as the being who fashioned it. Many house their creator's most treasured tomes and arcana, and all are protected by layers of hexes, captive malefic spirits, and potent empiric curses. To Sava, the Prince of Liars. Not even to Savu's closest allies within the cult of duplicity know his true name, nor indeed have any real notion of his agenda. Each has been told a different tale, each a different plan, and in truth, all are but pawns in a scheme more deeply buried still. The Prince of Liars stands at the heart of a veritable whirlwind of schemes and plots, each overlapping one another and each founded upon a web of interlaced mistruths. He has made dark pacts with infernal beings to further enhance his post-human mental architecture, in order to keep track of his manifold duplicities. Indeed, there are some amongst his cult who whisper that Tashava is no longer truly a being of flesh and blood, but rather the embodiment of falsehood itself, whose very name shifts each time it is committed to parchment. The many overlapping masks of Tashiva's helm speak out of turn with one another, rendering his voice a writhing nest of voices whose words differ in subtle but crucial details. His hooded cloak writhes with life of its own. It casts unnatural shadows and sometimes becomes insubstantial, as though its very existence is a falsehood. The inconstant nature is a motif carried through in every aspect of the sorcerer's war gear. Kasava's staff is a plain and understated thing. Yet, its core is shot through with empirically aligned noctolith that can absorb and discharge ferocious tides of warp energy. The ostentatious blade that Tasura wears at his belt is eye-catching, but nowhere near as perilous as the 9 curse-wrought dagger he keeps concealed in invisible sheaths about his person. The wealth of data slates and small tomes he carries writhe with Tarava's crabbed writings, all presented in different ciphers, nearly all riddled with falsehoods, trap spells, and misdirection. The only constant surrounding Tasava is his thrallband, whose ranks are filled with rubricae and scarab occult terminators. The Prince of Liars trusts only these lost souls to defend him, for the ghosts of the Legion are incapable of duplicity or agenda, and the sorcerers who command them are bound to Vasava by pacts of mutual falsehood, so potent that to break them would damn those unfortunates utterly. The Coven of Three. At first glance, the eerie triad of sorcerers known as Tiyang, Tiyor, and Tiyil appear identical. The deeper one looks, however, the more subtle differences show, and the illusions disperse, or perhaps accumulate, until the observer must question their sanity for ever believing these strange beings anything alike. 9 centuries have passed since these 3 sorcerers completed the final step of the forbidden rite of Vordrek's conjunction. On that night of blood and horror, they ritually sacrificed every last defender of Saint Basolius's shrine. In doing so, they bound their souls and minds inextricably in the warp, and thus magnified their gestalt psychic might by a 3-fold magnitude. The unspoken communion shared by these sorcerers allows them to whisper and scheme together, even should they be battling light years apart. They never speak aloud, even to their servants, and instead implant suggestions and commands into the minds of those around them through sorcerous means. Nor do the Coven of Three employ any form of written communication. Thus, their complex and cunning plans are impossible for their enemies to divine ahead of time by anything short of a psychic probe. And few psychers would be foolish enough to attempt this against the entwined minds of three such powerful sorcerers. Those who do end their days in raving insanity, and their flesh convulses, and their minds run from their ears like molten and bloodied wax. When implementing their schemes, Tiang, Tior, and Teal often divide up and spread confusion by claiming one another's names, or else switch their name of address constantly to keep friend and foe alike guessing. At any time, one of these sorcerers employs illusion, one telepathy, and one prognostication. Between them, this suite of unnatural abilities serves to sow confusion and despair amongst the foe. Though they share an incredible bond of connection, still these three sorcerers plot constantly against one another. Should one ever succeed in slaying his two fellows, he would gain the concentrated powers of all three, and thus become exalted in his own right. Such victory is unlikely, of course, when Tiang, Tior, and Tiil know one another's every thought. Lord Cataclystus. Cataclystus was among the sorcerers who wreaked havoc on Fenris, homeworld of the Space Wolves, during the rite to return Sortarius to real space. There, he earned his ascension to exalted status through wreaking unrestrained destruction and spreading unbridled change. Cataclystus is known and feared across a dozen worlds. He has many names: the Flame Immortal, the Storm of Change, the Incandescent One. The atrocities that he and his flock of Helldrakes, the Wervok Brood, have wreaked across the Aspereth sector are the stuff of dark legend. An exalted sorcerer of phenomenal raw power, Cataclystus cares little for subtlety or guile. Rather, he is the living evocation of the Xenchian firestorm, an unstoppable and unnatural disaster that eradicates, or gruesomely mutates, everything that stands in its way. It was Cataclystus who threw down the doors of the Bastion Imperatus on Jalzor, melting them to a molten tide that engulfed the defending Ultramarines and boiled them alive in their armor. It was he who masterminded the attack upon the Gassima Convent, who immolated the crew of the Warlord Titan Aggressor Omnis from the inside out, and who called down the Empyrean Firestorm that consumed the Tau Cadres attacking Morgengard. Cataclystus wields a staff forever wreathed in the kaleidoscopic fires of change. He bears the accursed tome of the pyre, and an unnatural conflagration dances forever within and about his armored form. The exalted sorcerer conjures those flames at will to lash out and engulf his enemies. But he has another use for them as well. Cataclystus channels his unholy fires into the furnace hearts of his pack of demon engines, which he delights in fashioning and unleashing upon his foes. Enraged by the immaterium inferno blazing through their mechanical hearts, these terrifying war engines rampage through the foe with predatory ferocity that none can ever hope to stand against. Ahriman. Ahriman is the greatest sorcerer of the Thousand Suns, barring only his demonic gene sire. All of his prodigious power he bends to a single cause: the salvation of his damned legion. It is an all too Zinchian irony that for all his sorcery and all his towering intellect and thousands of years of seeking, Ahriman has thus far succeeded only in making matters worse. When the Thousand Suns first came to Sortiarius, they believed it to be a sanctuary. Immersed as they were amidst the tides of the Empyrean, and free to practice their spellcraft as they wished, they soon discovered that it was instead a place of damnation. Already prone to catastrophic physical mutation, a bane that the Thousand Suns had fearfully named the Flesh Change, they now found this trait accelerating. Few could doubt that, if this curse did not abate, the Legion would soon be lost to madness and monstrosity. Yet Magnus, consumed by his own now limitless studies and brooding upon his need for vengeance, did nothing. Instead, it was Azek Ahriman, the Legion's former chief librarian, who took it upon himself to save his brothers. The spell that Ahriman and his co-conspirators worked was called the Rubric, and it was the final blow that cast the Thousand Suns into eternal damnation. Admittedly, it did arrest the Flesh Change for a time, but its cost was monstrous indeed. As punishment, Magnus cast out his once favored gene son, banishing him until he could complete the impossible task of comprehending the true nature of Zinch. Yet Ahriman was unrepentant. His efforts now became focused upon a single goal. He would restore his legion to their true former glory, not only undoing the terrible changes he had wrought upon them with his sorcery, but restoring them to a position of power not known since before the Emperor sent his wolves to lay them low. Since that time, Ahriman has blazed a trail of ruin across the stars. He gathers all those to him that he can use, be they thrall bands of Rubrique, mutant Zinch worshippers, or even masterless renegades for Ahriman to expend in the name of final exoneration. Believing with absolute conviction that it is within his gift to unpick the puzzle of restoring his brothers, the arch-sorcerer balks at no deed, no matter how dark, cruel, or taboo, providing it will aid him in his ultimate goal. To his foes, Ahriman's acts of violence and desecration seem random to the point of insanity. In truth, his schemes are nearly as sprawling as those of his demon Primarch. In battle, Ahriman wields the Black Staff, an abomination of a Force Stave that manifests in the warp as a burning black absence. Ahriman fashioned the staff himself. At its tip is the Stone of Hidden Truths, recovered from the ruins of Tizka. Crowning the weapon are the severed horns of the demon prince Vadhakar, the Annihilator, while its haft is built around the charred fragments of Ahriman's own Hecla staff that burned on Prospero during the Space Wolves' invasion. Its blade, meanwhile, is forged from the desecrated remains of an Eldari Farseer's stave. Each new addition is rich in the powers of sorcery, heavy with fate, and capable of amplifying Ahriman's own sorcerous abilities still further. Of late, Ahriman's endless quest has been focused upon the arcane lore and supernatural abilities of the Eldari. On the one hand, Ahriman desires the forbidden knowledge and boundless power that lies within their fabled Black Library. On the other, he is fascinated by the newly risen Yennari Death Cult, whose fey powers over mortality itself the Arch-Sorcerer believes may unlock the doors to restoring his damned brothers. The Black Library lies deep within the maze-like twists and turns of the Webway, an interstitial galactic maze that lies between real space and the warp. Even those who can locate it face dread and nameless guardians, not to mention the lethal Eldari warrior acrobats known as the Harlequins. None of this dissuades Ahriman. It is said that within the Black Library lies all of the accumulated lore the Eldari have ever gathered upon the nature of chaos, not to mention malign artifacts whose power is beyond imagining. Some say that through cunning astral projection, Ahriman has already plundered a map of the Webway from this hidden trove. But whether this is true, or what he plans to do with it if so, none but the Arch-Sorcerer can say. Perhaps this theft is linked to Ahriman's pursuit of the Yennari and their prophetess, Yvraine. Certainly, this strange subcult of the Eldari race display the ability to seemingly capture the souls of the dying, and even to restore the essence of one who has passed beyond the mortal veil. How this might aid Ahriman in undoing the dreadful curse he inflicted upon his battle brothers is unclear, but it cannot be coincidence that he has fought and sought to abduct Yennari now on several occasions.